Our second storytelling open mic was hosted in downtown Long Beach at the main public library. Storytellers showed up to share their response to the prompt, which asked them to tell us about a time that made them cry tears of joy. Nature is a powerful force, and it sometimes communicates with us in deeper ways than we can comprehend. The next three storytellers tell us about their existential experiences with nature, how it brought them to tears, and in some ways, saved their lives. The first storyteller we will hear from is Fabian.
All right, hello. I was in the library at noon today checking out the war diaries of Julius Caesar, I think. Yes, I'm a veteran, and that's a part of the story. And Veterans Day is coming up, so it's appropriate. And I saw the flyer for this event, and I live up. I was like, ah, I like telling stories. Let's do that. And did not know the theme was joy, but lucky for all of us, my story is joyful and will bring you to tears. So I tell this story a lot, and it plays a big role in what I do today as a veteran. And I used to be an officer in the Navy and graduated from the Naval Academy in 2003. So you hear a lot about in the veteran community that the hardest thing about being in the military is transitioning out of the military and civilian world, which has certainly been my experience. And, you know, I've been everything since I got out of the military, an anti-war veteran, and I still am an anti-war veteran, although I'm more pro-peace, pro-community now. But that's where this story's going. So in 2012, summer of 2012, I was up at Point Doom. Anyone here not know Point Doom? Point Doom is in Malibu. It is the northern terminus of Santa Monica Bay, as my Army buddy, Michael, who took me there, always calls it. If you go out on a clear day and look north, it's the point sticking out. D-U-M-E, by the way, not D-O-O-M. Point Doom. And Point Doom is beautiful. So my buddy Michael, who was 54 years old, he was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne. We've become close friends. He took me out there, and I moved to L.A. in 2008 and had never even been up to Malibu so much, so he's from there. And Point Doom is special, and if you haven't been there lately, I recommend it. Most people hike over the Doom Dune itself. There's a nice path, but if you walk along the water's edge, it gets pretty gnarly. So, you know, with military guys here, we like gnarly. And it's pretty dangerous. I mean, there's some spots if you're traversing and slip, you're gonna hurt yourself. And if you're there at high tide, the water's gonna grab you and pull you out. And in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have been doing that. Or at least we should have gone at low tide anyway. But just a gorgeous day. Gorgeous day. You don't really need to know anything other than typical, beautiful Malibu, sunny skies, Point Doom, wildlife, seals, two buddies just having a great time. And so we started at the north end, the Zuma Beach side, went around south. And when you get out to the point, you know, you can get to a place where you see nothing man-made. It's just cliff right behind you and waves crashing on rocks right in front of you, and you forget that L.A. is just over there. So it's pretty magical, literally on the edge of a continent. It's one of these spots if you're a metaphysical energy person like I am and so many of us in Southern California are. Sorry, I'm fidgety. It's a spot you'll love. Like, you'll feel it. You'll go around there and you'll feel it. And at low tide, you don't need to be a mountain climber to get there. So we go around, hang out, and then we come back to head to our car to drive home. He's wearing his Army jump wings, and I think I was wearing a USS Curtis Wilbur hat, which was my ship, and a destroyer. And so this guy in an Army hat, an Army shirt, sees us coming back around to the main area. We're coming back around the big rocky area and coming to the beach. And he's like, oh, hey, you guys are veterans. We said, yeah. So he goes, I'm facing the waves, I'm facing the ocean, and he's he's facing me, so he's just staring into a cliff, basically. And I'm high, as not high, I'm just high on life at this point. And I think I have to clear that up here in California. So I'm high on life, and you know, he starts talking about wanting to raise money back in New Jersey, where he's from, for a war memorial, and how he's having a trouble with the politicians, and they don't want to have a Iraq and Afghanistan memorial. And frankly, I'm like, I just don't care about this. But I keep listening. It turns out he's visiting from New Jersey, visiting California for the first time. And as it turns out, you know, first day in California ever as a tourist, he's at Point Doom, which is literally one of the most beautiful spots on the planet. I'm like, oh, well, this guy somehow stumbled into a beautiful spot. He's telling me some sob story about a monument. And I'm from Arlington, Virginia, right outside of D.C., so I know all the monuments. And monuments are cool. Vietnam Memorial is amazing. That'll bring you to tears for another reason. So I just stop him. And I grab him by the shoulders and literally spin him around. I said, look, dude, I forget his name. I said, look, man, I probably said dude. Look, dude, look around you. Look at where we are. Look at what's happening. This is your monument. This is our monument. We don't need, I don't know why it came out of me. You know, I actually get choked up now that I think about it. So I spun him around. I said, "This is your monument, man. You don't need a politician to fund some tax program to build a piece of stone somewhere that says whatever happened on whatever date. Isn't this why we joined up? I mean, to protect this." I mean, yes, politics, the Constitution, everyone has their different views on the military. I just told you I'm basically a left-wing radical at this point. But even I really miss and honor my military service. And he got it right away. And he started crying. And he just hugged me. And he thanked me. And that was it. So I walk away. And my buddy Michael was just watching it from a few paces away, and he was crying too. And 5 minutes later, I look back. We're about to get in the car, and I look back at the guy to wave one more time, and a humpback whale and her calf come right by offshore. Right there. I mean, Point Doom is deep right off, and come up and breach, and everyone's freaking out, going, oh my God, there's whales right there, of course. And the guy turns around, and we make eye contact. And I just give him a thumbs up. Just like a corny thumbs up. And he shoots me a thumbs up back. And he goes back around. And Michael and I, you know, we stuck around a little bit to look at the whales, of course. And then we were out of there. And that's it. That's the story. And that's the whole anecdote. That's the story. So I think about that moment a lot. It's one of those simple moments that comes and goes real fast in life, where that's beautiful, literally beautiful, aesthetically beautiful in this case, and emotionally beautiful. And I use it a lot in the work I do now. Part of a nonprofit called Vets Journey Home. I'm the president of the California chapter. And, you know, there's so many crazy stories from veterans. You know, the military isn't this big, evil, monolithic thing, not at all. And, you know, when we go to our retreats, we go to beautiful locations, as beautiful as we can find, and remind them, like, hey, you're willing to put your ass on the line for this, right? So now we want to get these guys out of their trauma and healed. So we say, look, take that same sense of urgency and dedication you had in the military and put it into your community now. So that's what we're all about. You know, my monument is the natural beauty of Point Doom, but it's our communities itself. And so that's what that story always reminds me of. Thank you.
The next storyteller we will hear from is Taj.
Okay, so I saw Mariah a few days ago, and she told me the prompt, and I was just thinking that I cry all the time, so there were so many that I couldn't, like, decide which story I should tell, but there were two that stuck out to me, and now I'm thinking, like, I don't know if this is going to be interesting for you to hear at all, because it's, like, not really anything big that happened on the outside. It's more just, like, how I felt on the inside, so, but I don't know. I'm going to try to explain it. And also, I just wanted to make myself come up here and talk in front of people because I get really nervous. So, all right. So, the first one that seems like really important for me. Well, there have been like a lot of times that I've cried at things that I thought were really beautiful, like especially like being in love with someone and like looking in their eyes or something like that and feeling like it's like an external thing. But I think this one was really important because, well, actually both of these are really important because I felt like I was like really connecting with myself. So the first one was like after I had been like in an on and off relationship for like, I don't know, a year, I think. So I think I had like just completely lost myself in the relationship and like thinking that I needed that other person and like they were like my source of love or I can only feel love with them around. And it was like the like maybe 2 days after or maybe even the day after the person that I had been in the relationship with was leaving to like move to another country. So like we weren't gonna be in each other's lives anymore at all for sure at that point. So I was like thinking that I was gonna be feeling really bad, but I ended up just going for a hike kind of along the ocean and like just went out for like, I don't know, I'd been hiking for a couple hours probably. So I was like got done hiking and like got to the top where I had parked and it was like just as kind of like the sun was setting and it was like a really good view of the ocean. And I just remember like looking out and feeling like so connected to everything. Like I was looking at the clouds in the sky and the sun setting. And I don't know if you've had this experience before where things kind of almost look like colors look different, like brighter and like the clouds looked more defined. And I felt like, I just felt like almost like I was part of everything that I was looking out, like the clouds, everything that I was looking at, the clouds, the water and everything. Like I could feel myself being part of that and like experiencing all of that. And it was just like a really good feeling of, I think, being out of my head and being like back in my body and like remembering kind of after being in that, you know, like when you're in a relationship and you're kind of like out of yourself, coming back into your body and remembering like, oh, like I'm my own person, feeling like I love myself and can support myself again and just like feeling really good and comfortable. And then I just started driving home and like was driving along the ocean. And it was just like one of those like beautiful, like perfect settings where like the sun's setting, I'm playing like music that I really like. And I was just like crying the whole way home because I just felt so good, like feeling like, oh, I just remembered that I love myself again. It was just like a really awesome experience. And just like felt so good. And then I think the other one was something similar, but I don't remember. It was probably only like a month or two after that. I think I was just like taking time to like spend a lot of time with myself. And I had another like really cool experience, but rather than being like out and connecting with the universe or whatever, it was more like me going inside of myself. And I don't know if anyone's ever experienced this either, but I started like kind of like dancing, but I was like moving really slowly and like just close my eyes and kind of like letting my body move however it wanted to. And I was like moving my hands really slowly. And I just like felt like all this energy in my hands. And it like got to be where it was really overwhelming, and like I felt like I was like moving this new energy up my body, maybe like old energy that had been stuck in my body, and like it just felt really good, so I kept doing it. And then at some point, like I just felt like all this energy come up, kind of like I was allowing myself to be like really soft and gentle with myself, and like move really slowly and be in my body and feel feel in my body. And I got like this really overwhelming maybe I was connecting with like my inner child or something like that, and it felt really good, and I cried a lot. Like at first I cried kind of like feeling sad, like maybe some old feelings were coming up, but then I just kind of like felt really good, and I was crying and like kind of like being like supportive or being like really gentle or there for that part of myself that I was connecting with. And I just like at that point just like laid on the floor and was crying, but I was like feeling really good. And I think that's it. Thank you.
The final storyteller we will hear from is Richard.
Also, I didn't get the memo. So my story is completely unrelated. Basically, it's about vibes. I'm talking about good vibes, bad vibes. It's kind of a generic term. But one day back in the early 80s, I was working in South Central Los Angeles for the phone company. And while I was at a terminal, I felt really strong vibes, anger, fear, just horrible. It was so bad the hair stood up in the back of my neck. I had goose pimples. It was a 90-degree day. And then I heard a voice. The voice said, "Don't turn around or he'll shoot you." Which was unusual because there was nobody there. The voice had no gender. It wasn't a sound. It was just in my head. So I'm sitting there staring straight ahead, the hair on the back of my head sticking straight up, wondering, should I turn around? I listened to the voice. I didn't turn around. And then eventually the feelings went away. And I slowly turned around and saw nobody there. I thought, well, just one of those situations. I must have thought, imagined it. But at this point in time, I had cotton mouth. So I went back to the little liquor store around the corner. When I walked in, one of the clerks said, "We got him, we got him." And I said, "Got who?" There'd been a robber coming in for the third time. The owner had gotten tired of being robbed. She purchased a gun, and they had a gunfight, literally behind my back. And that's when I realized maybe the voice was trying to tell me something. And as I walked out, they showed me the blood splashes on the ground. There was no robber to be found. Anyway, that's my story.
These stories were recorded live at the Long Beach Public Library in downtown Long Beach on November 7th, 2017. Thank you to all who attended to share and listen to stories, and thank you to the staff at the Public Library for facilitating the event, especially Artie, Sheila, Dave, Alana, Richard, and Rob. These stories, like all of the stories on our podcast, were co-produced by myself, Mariah Padilla, and were mixed, mastered, and produced by our sound artist, Alessandro Marquez. Original music for these stories is from Mark, who also played at the open mic event. We used his music and remixed it to make some of our own. Thank you for sharing, Mark. Unassuming Collective is created by Widow Fox Productions, a multimedia creative group comprised of artists, musicians, writers, and dreamers. If you like what you've been hearing, you can follow us, like us, and share us on social media. Unassuming Collective hangs out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And feel free to check out our website at unassumingcollective.com.